Greetings. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Weinihau. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Guten Tag. Bonjour. Salam. Shalom. Peace. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the planet's first and only commercial vegan radio show, where any 9/11 commission report would report that every day is 9/11 for the animals in the United States of Listeria. 1,100,000 of our animal brothers and sisters, our cohabitors sharing the world, will be cannibalized for pseudo-food just while this 1 hour purely and totally vegetarian educational program airs. Just during the course of this show, 1,100,000 animals will be killed for so-called food. As we air on Southern California radio stations in Los Angeles and San Diego, it seems ironic to watch this government, both Congress and George Devil U. Bush, address the issue of intelligence as if they could recognize it if they saw it? Are you comfortable? Tell the truth. Are you comfortable with the prospect of George W. Bush appointing a new national intelligence czar, which George incidentally spells Z-A-R? By the way, by presidential decree, all national dictionaries will now reflect a spelling switch to N-O-O-K-U-L-U-R. That's N-O-O-K-U-L-U-R. Be warned, anyone still using the terrorist spelling of nuclear after the Republican National Convention will be treated like an animal rights activist. So beware. Personally, I suspect that the first person who taps George Devil U. Bush on the shoulder takes him aside and says, "Look, Baba Ya, it's nuclear, not nuclear. It's nuclear." I would think that Devil U would just have to react and say, "Well, wow, you're smart. Wait, you're more than smart. You're intelligent. Want to be the intelligence czar?" Z-A-R? Well, you know, as an undecided voter myself, there still is a way that George Devil U. Bush could convince me to vote for him. Oh, don't worry. I realize that the electronic voting machine is going to count my vote for Bush, whether I vote for Kerry or Nader or Bush, for that matter. And I could vote for Bush, I mean, for reasons other than the wealth of material he provides as subject matter for this radio show. I mean, that alone could keep me going for the next 4 years. But if he were to show that he's really, you know, not just totally set in his ways and maybe adjusting to the times, he adopted an announced policy of honesty, for example, and maybe would admit to at least one mistake if he were to say something to the effect of, "Well, you know, my fellow Americans, I'm sorry that, you know, all the backdrops, you know, behind me when I've held press conferences at all my speeches, They were mistakenly worded. There were misspellings that happened time after time because of, well, bad intelligence. My administration mistakenly appointed Dan Quayle as spelling czar, Z-A-R. So No Child Left Behind should have been spelled No Child Left With a Behind. Healthy Forests Initia, that Healthy Forest scheme, I mean plan, should have read Healthy Forests Have No Trees. And sorry, my press conference on endangered species, where you saw support the Endangered Species Act. Sorry, Danny Quayle left out a few words and some misspellings there, too. It should have read Support the Hunting of Endangered Species Act. Yeah, I could vote for Bush if he came out with some honesty like that. After all, if he would admit, hey, look, after a few years in this job, I recognize my limitations, so don't expect me to appoint an intelligence czar, Z-A-R. The best I can do is maybe a stupidity czar, Z-A-R. Now, you're talking my language, George W., live up to my expectations. Appoint a stupidity czar, and you've got my vote. In fact, let me submit my resume, huh? Here, maybe I could qualify for the job. Here, W., this should qualify me.
I know, and you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
And I'm willing to accept another appointment if, by an appointed president. What better way for Bob Linden to serve his country? I was the first commercial vegan talk show host. I could be the first United States stupidity czar. Hey, my fellow Americans, your meat-based agricultural policy? It's stupid. Your diet is, it's stupid. It's not intelligent. Not intelligent, it's stupid. Use your intelligence. Meat and dairy could have been the ultimate Al-Qaeda attack, killing and crippling more Americans than bin Laden ever will. Eating meat and dairy, bad intelligence. In fact, now it's downright mad intelligence. With mad cow disease, one bite could become your own personal 911. I mean, your own, I mean, one bite. You know, mad cow disease is 100% fatal. There's no cure. It's incurable. And, Agriculture News Online reported on a conference a few weeks back in Sun Valley, Idaho, where the Prime Minister of Mad Cownada, our neighbor to the north, our banned barf neighbor to the north. I mean, beef is banned from Canada. Criticized the United States' actions closing the border after discovering the mad cow in Canada. I mean, mad Canada. In May 2003, saying, quote, in all probability, the feed that gave it the disease came from the United States. USDA advised against mad cow test in 2002, the test that got put into action. That's from United Press International, from UPI. The U.S. Department of Agriculture in late 2002 warned against using the same mad cow disease test the agency now is using in its expanded surveillance program for the deadly disorder. The USDA said governments should not authorize the test, which is manufactured by BioRad Laboratories in Hercules, California, because it can give false positives, results that are ruled negative on follow-up testing, and will cause loss of consumer confidence in beef and beef products. But they're using the test anyway, setting out the false positives anyway. What else in the How Now Mad Cow? The USDA now is changing the mad cow testing system. Reuters, the U.S. Agriculture Department said last Wednesday it's changing mad cow testing procedures to double-check any inconclusive results from the rapid screening test for the fatal disease. Until now, the USDA reported to the public whenever a sample of brain tissue yielded an inconclusive result from a screening test and then sent the sample to a USDA lab in Ames, Iowa for a final round of tests. Under the new protocol, two additional rapid tests would be conducted, and only if one of them were inconclusive would the results be announced. I'm trusting the government more and more with the safety of our food supply. Bin Laden could do a better job here, and would certainly say, don't eat meat. Mad cow case sheds new light. This from USA Today, a second case in which the human form of mad cow disease was spread through a blood transfusion has been reported in the United Kingdom. The first such case was reported there in December 2003, and British health officials say they've been expecting more. The new case is especially significant, scientists say, because the patient shows a genetic variation not seen in previous cases. The finding could change current thinking about who is susceptible to the fatal disease and how long it may lie dormant before causing symptoms. Few details have been made public about the case. The UK Department of Health reported only that a British patient received a blood transfusion in 1999 from a donor who later developed variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, or variant CJD, the brain disease related to mad cow disease from eating mad cows. And just one more from the How Now Mad Cow file here. This from United Press International. Mad cow found in cows born after the feed ban. This from UPI London last week. Mad cow disease has been detected in two English cows born years after protective safeguards were put in place, authorities announced this past Tuesday. The cases raise questions about whether the safeguards, which banned the inclusion of infectious animal parts in cattle feed, were strictly followed. The U.S. Gov Enron Mint has relied on similar safeguards to protect U.S. herds and consumers. Remember, that's one bite. One bite can be fatal. So why take a chance? Why risk your child's health with one more bite of a poop burger anyway, a fecal-covered burger? Anyway, no cows were hurt in the production of our wonderful event last week, the Venice Midsummer Dream of Peace Veggie Q. And once again, I just have to thank the participants who made it just a wonderful day. We had about 300 people out last Saturday, and we totally enjoyed the burgers from Follow Your Heart, all the vegan burgers. And thank you, Carrie Brown, Chef Carrie Brown, who came out there and worked all day by the grill, making sure he was melting the vegan gourmet cheese alternative, just so we had the perfect chili cheeseburger. And thanks to Vegetable Delight for its donation of food to Vegetable Delight Chinese Restaurant in Granada Hills, Vegan Express, and Real Food Daily, Native Foods, Wild Oats for all of those wonderful vegetarian hot dogs. Co-opportunity, thank you so much. Vegan Terra Restaurant, Rancho Palos Verdes. If you are looking for vegan hot dog buns, vegan hamburger buns, you can get them from Vegan Terra. They bake them themselves over there in Rancho Palos Verdes. And I also want to thank Rudy's Organic Bakery, sending more buns all the way from Colorado. GT Kombucha, Quenching Our Thirst, a big contribution from Trader Joe's, Bill's Best Seasonings for the raffle prizes, and Arrowhead Water, keeping us hydrated, which is more than I can say for Ringling Brothers when it comes to its lions, as we mourn another death in the circus, another death, a lion, Clyde, within the last couple of weeks of heat stroke and dehydration coming across. So sad that Ringling Brothers is still around, still in town. Today it's last day at Anaheim, Arrowhead Pond, the scene of the crime, because after all, the circus is banned all around cities all around the country, and cities all around California too, including Huntington Beach and Pasadena, Corona, Encinitas. And so it actually is the scene of a crime. And I was arrested there 2 years ago, breaking no law, just using a megaphone to let people know the torture in the circus there. And somehow I got arrested. Oh, it's almost time for me. You know, the charges were dropped, by the way. Now it's time for me to sue the city of Anaheim because it has an unconstitutional law that would require me to get permission from Ringling Brothers in advance to protest against the circus, which seems like an unconstitutional law to me. It's getting late. I have to file my lawsuit. Are you an attorney? Are you a civil rights attorney? Perhaps you would like to help me in my case against the city of Anaheim and help them to actually adhere to the U.S. Constitution. That would be cool, huh? Okay. So it was a great event last week, and thank you if you were one of the attendees. And we brought in enough of a donation to pay for one or two shows here. You know, airtime is expensive. Free speech comes at a cost. And this is the planet's first and only commercial vegan radio show. And I do invite you to send a tax-deductible donation, which we then write checks to the radio stations for allowing us the time to insult all of the other advertisers on the station all other hours during the week. You can make a check payable to Go Vegan and mail it to P.O. Box 220025, Newhall, California, 91322. And you can do that. I would greatly appreciate it. And coming up today, interesting show. We will speak to Dr. Stephen Best. He is one of the co-editors of a very interesting new book Terrorists or Freedom Fighters? Reflections on the Liberation of Animals. And we will be talking to him shortly here on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. If you need to reach me by phone, it's 818-623-6477. I thank you for joining us. Dr. Stephen Bess coming up next on Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
Going vegan just got easier. Presenting Follow Your Heart Chicken Free Chicken. Now at natural food stores everywhere. All the taste, none of the bird. Vegan, low fat, low sodium, cholesterol free, chicken free chicken from Follow Your Heart. 11 grams of protein per 2.5 ounce serving. Ready to serve, delicious hot or cold, like on a sandwich with new organic veggies. You are what you eat. Don't be chicken. Try chicken free chicken. Get some at Follow Your Heart on Sherman Way, a block and a half east of Topanga, Canoga Park, and natural food stores everywhere.
And it occurs to me that the chicken is free of chicken also at Vegetable Delight Restaurant. What a wonderful place to go have a weekday lunch special. 150 menu items at Vegetable Delight Chinese Restaurant, 17823 Chatsworth Street, Granada Hills, 818-360-3997. And, well, over the centuries, Buddhist monks have perfected the art of vegetarian cooking and the replication of textures and flavors of meat so that you sacrifice nothing and you sacrifice no one. Now, check it out, 150 menu items, but you know my favorite over there. You can go, you can have the shrimp appetizer, you can have sweet and sour pork, you can have the fish and brown sauce, of course, no animal ingredients, so it's all guilt-free. That's my recommended. Oh, and the cucumber appetizer. The cold cucumber appetizer is phenomenal. Check it out at Vegetable Delight. Book your special events and parties, your group outings. Head on over, especially on the weekends. You are welcome there, like tonight at Vegetable Delight at 17823 Chatsworth Street, Granada Hills. Oops. Is that not coming through here? I'm not hearing. No. Okay. Well, it is official in San Francisco Chronicle article headlined Taster's Choice Local Producer Creams Rice Milk Competitors. New drink rice from Lundberg Family Farms comes in first, light years ahead of all others in a blind taste test by five renowned Bay Area executive chefs, restaurant owners, food critics, and authors. Enriched organic drink rice from Lundberg Family Farms. First place, praised for being not overly sweet and for having a slight creaminess. The distant second place finisher was called watery. Third place, watery and boring. Fourth place was said to have a fake vanilla flavor. Others scored too low to even rate. Now you can taste test the winner yourself. Get off the cow milk and drink rice. It's drink rice. No surprise, it's from Lundberg Family Farm since 1937, the name known for organic and specialty rice.
M-E-A-T-S-T-I-N K.S. Meat Stinks.
And we continue. Interestingly enough, last week we were talking about the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, which shows the influence that corporations seem to have on legislation. And of course, these same animal exploitive corporations and entities seem to have the same kind of grip on the media, and therefore our thinking about animal liberation. And there is a great book that has just come out, and it's edited by Stephen Best, PhD, and Anthony Nocella. And today we're going to talk to Stephen Best about Terrorists or Freedom Fighters, Reflections on the Liberation of Animals. Stephen Best is the associate professor and chair of philosophy at the University of Texas at El Paso. Amazingly, so much animal liberation seems to be growing in Texas, where there are two radio shows about animal rights. We have Go Vegan Texas, and we also have a show, Animal Concerns of Texas, started up by Dr. Best. And, he's a teacher of modern humanities and critical thinking and social philosophy and very involved with animal rights and his many articles published. Welcome, Dr. Best. How are you?
Bob, I'm great. It's great to be with you.
It's terrific to have you here.
I've listened to your show all this time tonight, and I tell you, you made me hungry.
Right. Well, hungry for the good stuff, right? All vegan food.
Yeah, hungry for food, hungry for truth, hungry for democracy.
Well, I was just going to say that. The hunger for truth, and you're feeding us with Terrorists or Freedom Fighters, Reflections on the Liberation of Animals. Here is a book that's really food for thought, and it's got some outstanding. This book is interesting from the opening, the opening praise for it from various people and their quotes. For example, you have here Peter McLaren, professor, Graduate School of Education, UCLA. In a world driven by profit margins, utilitarianism, speciesism, and in this generalized climate of political swindle, Terrorists or Freedom Fighters speaks truth to power. Well, just like Mrs. Kerry wants, okay? It's a work destined to shape the politics of a new generation of militant activists. And there's a lot more praise in here. And Stephen Best, I see my name here. I see my name here twice. Thanks a lot. In the age of the Patriot Act and Department of Deutschland Security, I'm mentioned twice in a book talking about the animal liberation front. Thank you so much.
We all have to take our lumps, Bob.
Yeah.
I appreciate your comment. This is a significant book outside of Ingrid Newkirk's book, Free the Animals, which is really a very different book. This is the first book on the animal liberation front. The animal liberation front emerged in England in 1972. It spread all around the world to perhaps up to 20 countries. It had a strong presence in the United States and still does, beginning in the early 1980s. And so it's been over three decades of struggle through the Animal Liberation Front, which, of course, is an underground anonymous organization that would use tactics such as property destruction and arson to rip at the economic heart of the meat, dairy, and animal exploitation industries. Three decades this movement has been in existence, and finally a book comes out on it. Don't you think it's about time?
I think so. I think that it's a book that deserves academic study. And, you know, we have a liberation movement in progress here, and you're introducing us to the Animal Liberation Front. So,
well, we do. These are difficult times for freedom, but also important times for the emergence of this animal rights movement, which is getting very serious and starting to grow some real teeth. And so we are going to meet ever-increasingly stiff state resistance. But this book, I hope, is a real rifle shot into the ideological fog that clouds the understanding of what a direct action movement is. And I have to say that misunderstandings abound. We're certainly characterized by the mainstream media, by the industries, and by the state government as terrorists and as violent. I say we because I'm a fellow traveler, not a member of the ALF, but very sympathetic, of course. And people in our own movement don't understand the ALF very well, and other groups like SHAC. So that when I hear critiques voiced from people in our movement, and certainly they're free to have their opinions and views, I'm a little unnerved when I hear the same words coming out of their mouths as you might hear coming out of the mouth of an industry representative, an animal exploiter, or a political bureaucrat in the control of a pharmaceutical industry or a vivisection industry. And that would be denouncing us as terrorists, denouncing us as violence, saying that these tactics don't work, that they will backfire, that we must work through the system to win animal liberation through legislation and education. But all of history tells us that there is a place for direct action, for struggle, even for physical violence in every liberation movement, and there's no reason it's going to be any different for the animal liberation movement.
Well, now people do accuse the Animal Liberation Front. First of all, it's the Animal Liberation Front is right at the top of the FBI's domestic terrorism list.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Along with the Earth Liberation Front, way above neo-Nazis, anti-government militiamen, and people like Timothy McVeigh, who have actually harmed people, have actually killed people when he blew up the federal building in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And killed over 200 people. So the AOF, in over three decades of existence, has never harmed a single human being because the core philosophy that they have is one of nonviolence. They do not believe that attacking the property or implements of destruction of an animal exploitation industry is violence because, frankly, these things are not sentient, they're not life.
Right.
And they do not harm human beings, and they show great restraint, remarkable restraint, given what we know about what happens to animals behind closed doors.
Right. So the pledge of anyone taking direct action on behalf of the ALF is nonviolence, not to hurt.
They are committed to a nonviolent philosophy. The same thing with the Earth Liberation Front. So it's no accident that no one has ever been hurt because this is a core value and people are quite careful to adhere to it. And if you don't adhere to it, you're not a member of the Animal Liberation Front.
Now, in your book, the book is Terrorists or Freedom Fighters, Reflections on the Liberation of Animals. You have a page here that talks about liberation, and there's an anonymous ALF activist who says, quote, "If we are trespassing, so will the soldiers who broke down the gates of Hitler's death camps. If we are thieves, so were the members of the Underground Railroad who freed the slaves of the South. And if we are vandals, so were those who destroyed forever the gas chambers of Buchenwald and Auschwitz."
Exactly. The point behind that quote is to get at people's inconsistency and hypocrisy. Because the knee-jerk reaction of people, ordinary people and people in the movement, animal rights people, is to say that this is violence, this is terrorism, it's wrong. But when you look to history and you look at things like concentration camps, where millions of Jews were in prison and being killed, no one has any problem with a resistance movement that destroys the property of the Nazis, that kills Nazis, that does whatever it takes to liberate human beings from Nazi domination. But when it comes to liberating animals from factory farms and similar Auschwitz-like compounds for the animals, then suddenly people have a problem with that. Suddenly we become moralistic. And we say, oh, well, it's okay to do this for human beings, but when you liberate animals with property destruction, sabotage, or, if you will, physical violence, then now you're acting in an immoral and unacceptable way. There's a clear inconsistency here. In fact, behind that inconsistency is speciesism. There's a hidden speciesism in people in the movement. No one has any problems of using violence or sabotage tactics to liberate human beings. But when it comes to animals, they think differently, and that's an inconsistency, that's arbitrary, and that's a hidden speciesism that we find even in animal advocates.
Well, what are some of these specific actions taken over the past 30 years done by the ALF, and maybe we could decide a little bit if those are violent or vandal, violent actions, vandalism, or heroism?
Well, there are two fronts that the ALF pursues, two different fronts. First is rescue and release operations. And they will break into mink farms, or they will break into university vivisection labs, and they will break through doors if they need to and take every animal out of every cage that they can. In the case of mink, they will just release them because they're not easily domesticated. You don't exactly adopt mink to a home. But if they are cats, dogs, rats, mice, guinea pigs, etc., these animals will be taken and spirited away to something like an underground railroad. And these animals will get the medical care that they need, and they will be adopted to loving homes. I don't think anybody has a problem with that. And the ALF and its early history concentrated mostly on these rescue and release operations. Then gradually over time, the ALF kind of lost its Robin Hood aura as it began attacking the property of some of these institutions. And in this vein, it has done things such as setting fires to meat delivery trucks, burning down research industries for research buildings for the mink industry, or totally trashing every piece of equipment in the laboratory, the dissection laboratory, or in a whale processing plant, such as Rod Coronado did in the mid-1960s, 1986, when he and the David Hewitt completely trashed a whaling station in Iceland and then went down to the harbor and sunk half of their whaling fleet. And all of these actions, not a single human being has been harmed, but property has been destroyed, animals have been freed, industries have been weakened economically. In some cases, industries have been shut down altogether and never to start up again. And many people who were thinking about perhaps starting a mink farm or a research laboratory thought twice about it and never did.
The
rationale for these actions is that there is no other way to liberate animals, because as you say over and over again, this is a corrupt political system that we live in. There is no democracy here. The political representatives,
we call it a democracy around here.
There you go. Yeah, they are under the control, obviously, of the meat and dairy industries, the pharmaceutical industries, the vivisection industries, and the oil, gas industries, etc. There is no dialogue to be had with these people. There is no conversations that we can have. There is no truth. There's no reason that we can give them so that they will suddenly see the light and let the animals go from all of their cages. So the Animal Liberation Front is operating under the philosophy that the only way to liberate these animals is through direct action, not by voting, not by legislating, but by attacking the source of production and liberating as many animals as possible.
Well, you know, we look at what motivates people to act in such a way, and you have part of your book here. Ingrid Newkirk says, we have to ask why there is a need for an ALF. No doubt it is because there are people whose sense of urgency at the pain and slaughter of others does not allow them to wait for a couple of decades for change. Perhaps their pain is more intense than the pain of those of us who weep and know things are wrong and work within the framework of an exploitative society geared to continue the very exploitation in the hope that one day things will be different. Perhaps the ALF exists because of complacency. After all, if peaceful dialogue worked, there would be nothing for the ALF to do. It would not have a job. So when 100 years or more of writing polite letters fails to effect vital change, should we condemn those who are compelled to try something stronger? How many of us would be content writing letters to the editor and politely talking about the situation if our very own loved ones had been snatched away from us and were being imprisoned and tortured? Would we sit back if our sisters were being force-fed bleach? Well, someone's sister is being force-fed bleach as I write this. We know about it, but we continue sitting here. Should we blame the ALF for getting up and trying to stop it?
Exactly. That is a very powerful quote. It's in the afterword of our book, which includes some 23 or 4 essays by the various leaders, if you will, or usual suspects, if you like, of the animal rights and animal liberation movement.
Very interesting. Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting essays throughout the book. You know, Gary Yourofsky, very interesting. I mean, Bruce Friedrich of PETA has an essay here. I mean, it's just, it's really excellent and goes off in a lot of different areas. You have Aquinas here, you know, you have... you also have mothers with monkey wrenches, feminist imperatives, and the ALF. Patrice Jones, who's drawing connections with feminism and the ALF. One quick thing she says here is, why should we care what feminism asks of the ALF? because animal liberation is a feminist project. Speciesism and sexism are so closely related that one might say they are the same thing under different guises. Women and animals, along with land and children, have historically been seen as the property of male heads of households. Patriarchy, male control of political and family life, and pastoralism, animal herding as a way of life, appeared on the historical stage at the same time together and cannot be separated because they are justified and perpetrated by the same ideologies and practices. Both women and animals are seen as less rational and more constrained by biology than men. Both suffer by being reduced to their bodies, or worse, their body parts. So a lot of thought has gone into connections of animal liberation and other social justice causes, too.
Yeah, I'd like to underscore the diversity of the book. First of all, you have academic essays and activist essays. And these two kinds of voices and perspectives have never come together before in a book like this. And what's significant about the academic perspective, about the very assemblage of this book, is that every liberation movement finally percolates upwards to have historians, philosophers, and sociologists and other academics studying this movement. It becomes something serious. You know, the old saying, the three stages to the evolution of every idea, every great and true and profound idea. First it's ridiculed, then it's debated, then it's accepted. Animal liberation has now entered the second stage where it is being debated, and this book is a good example of how it's being debated. So we have academic and activist voices. Half of the book is female voices, women's voices, feminist voices, and so we have a good gender diversity there. We have three Native Americans contributing to the book, and so we have all kinds of perspectives on this appeal. All kinds of debates are raised and hashed out in this book. We have a historical section on the origins of the ALF, various theoretical and political sections, and a lot of analysis of what terrorism really is, what violence really is, and how these terms are used as forms of doublespeak today. If we ever needed the analytic powers of George Orwell, it's now. Mm-hmm. Because when you can call people who will break into a laboratory to rescue kittens and puppies who are being burned with chemicals and whose brains are being invaded for ridiculous research experiments that have no scientific value, when you can call these compassionate people who risk their own freedom and lives to rescue these animals, when you can call them terrorists, that's the end of truth. And well, this book is an attempt to turn the tables and show who are the real terrorists. The animal exploitation industries and their servants in the Congress and throughout the whole U.S. Political system.
Yeah, it's the animals are left out of the terrorism equation. We never talk about that they suffer the most extreme terrorism. They're eaten. They're worn. You know?
Exactly. You mentioned every hour is a 9/11 attack. I would say every second is a 9/11 attack on animals. And once we define violence in such a way that it can affect all sentient life and not just human sentient life, clearly animals and humans share the same evolutionary capacity for experiencing of pain and pleasure. Once you define violence as the infliction of pain on an innocent being, then we see that animals can be victims of violence. Then we see who are the real perpetuators of violence, not the animal activists who break into laboratories and rescue these animals from true barbarians, but those individuals who are inflicting this pain on animals under the guise of research or profit or entertainment or what have you.
And we never see your perspective here in the media.
Now, the media, of course, itself is a corporate system, is controlled and run by corporations, and they say the party line of what I call the corporate state complex. They parrot uncritically this idea that animal activists are extremists, are terrorists, are violent. When have you ever heard of a vivisector involved in some of the most shameless acts of violence against animals? When have you ever heard of a vivisector called an extremist? You never read in any media report vivisector extremist, but you always read as if it's an adjective that naturally is attached to animal rights activists, animal rights extremist.
Yeah.
They just uncritically say that. They uncritically say terrorists. If animal liberationists break into a laboratory to rescue cats and dogs, the headline will be terrorists break into the lab, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not liberationists, not activists, not compassionate human beings, but terrorists.
Yeah.
And this discourse, again, is just used unreflexively, uncritically, and it's time to really challenge this.
Right. And
we have to challenge this. We have to show the world who the real terrorists are, who the real violent forces are.
And if we do that, perhaps we'll actually liberate someone who needs it and wants it, like the animals.
Exactly. And
right.
To liberate the animals, we have to liberate some minds, too.
That's right. Well, people have to start thinking for themselves. And that's what this book is about. Please get this book, Terrorists or Freedom Fighters, Reflections on the Liberation of Animals, edited by Stephen Best, Ph.D., and Anthony Nocella. And we have about a minute left, so anything I missed here that you wanted to get in about the book, or any favorite thoughts or anything about it? Or?
Well, why don't I talk about the fact that I was just banned almost from England.
You were banned from England, huh?
Just about. I received a letter from the Home Office, which is their national security office.
The Office of Deutschland Security?
Yes, and it is telling me that they are aware I want to attend an international animal rights conference in early September of this year, and they are aware that I've written an article called "You Don't Support the ALF Because Why?" Mm-hmm. And I defend the ALF in this article, and they say in light of this, they consider me a threat to the public order, and they want some justification for why I believe that and why they should let me into their country. Now, we know what's going on in England right now. It's a much more hot situation than in the States. Cambridge Lab was closed down earlier in this year, in January, February. Just recently, the second contractor pulled out of Oxford University Laboratory that they're trying to build. And the animal rights movement there has become an economic threat, where it really is challenging the fundamental economic structure of the UK economy. So they are a real threat, and they're taking it very seriously. So they don't want U.S. activists like myself coming in and fanning the flames, as they think it will do. And so three of us, including Jerry Vlasic and Rod Coronado, have received these letters where quite possibly we will be banned from England for exercising our right to free speech. This is unprecedented, Bob.
Well,
this shows the kind of level. This is a watershed moment in the repression of our movement, really in the growth of our movement, because if we weren't becoming strong, they wouldn't have to take us seriously. If we're just standing outside people's homes or offices with signs and chanting and holding candlelight vigils, we would not be a threat that we are. But we have grown, we have matured, we know how to attack these people now, and we are doing it, and they are fighting back. And so I guess now I'm an international terrorist.
Ah, because...
Add that to my list of credentials. Not just a domestic terrorist, like the Patriot Act and George Bush want to denounce me as, but now an international terrorist. That puts me up with Bin Laden, and I have some real prestige now that I'm quite proud of.
You're up there, huh?
I'm up there now. I've reached that level.
Well, there's no freedom of speech, though, in England,
like
we have here, supposedly, huh?
And, Bob, just 2 days ago from the recording of this show, they banned from the U.S. A leading activist in the U.K., a group called Speak, that was involved in shutting down the Cambridge Primate Lab in January, February of this year. Robert Cogswell came to the United States, was stopped and turned around and sent back to England because he is an animal rights activist. They are trying to stop us, contrary-wise, to going to England.
Well,
this is the beginning of a real struggle.
Yeah.
And if anybody is in this movement and is not ready for it, get out. Because this isn't a game. This isn't a hobby. This is a struggle. It will be long. It could be violent. It will be protracted. But we are going to liberate animals if we have to die for this cause. Martin Luther King once said, if a man hasn't found something to die for, he isn't fit to live. I and others are ready to die for the animals, to make any sacrifice necessary for animal liberation. And now we know that we have a serious liberation movement here.
And the animals are certainly dying for us. Well, not for us. We're vegans, and, you know, we...
Yep.
Yeah.
We're dying for human supremacy and human exploitation, and this has to stop. There's no justification for it. This is insane. We live in a completely insane world. Violence is everywhere around us.
And we don't even recognize it on the plate in front of us.
Exactly.
So.
And I tell you, Bob, I'm sorry to say, but Gandhi is not going to get us through this struggle. Not Gandhi alone.
Well,
we might have to turn to Machiavelli.
Well, anyway, for the Department of Deutschland Security, I had nothing to do with my name appearing twice in the book, Terrorists of Freedom.
We stole it and put it in there, just to let you off the hook.
Okay, there it is, twice. They can't be referring to... Oh, I am the only vegan talk show host commercial. Oh, well, okay. Thanks so much for... Thanks so much for being with us, Dr. Stephen Best.
My pleasure. Okay. And you keep struggling.
Okay. All right. Well, it's great to have you on our side in this great book that people need to read. It will change your perspective from what you hear from the establishment media, you know, the ABC, NNBC, CBS, Fox Censorship Network. The book is Terrorists or Freedom Fighters.
It's available on Lantern Books, Bob, and I just want to say in conclusion, people should go to my website, just Google me, type in Steve Best into a Google search engine. You get my homepage, and on my homepage there's a ton of information. There's a link to the book.
Excellent. Okay. Thanks so much. That's Steve Best. Go Google Steve Best. Okay. All right. On Go Vegan with Bob Linden, we continue. Woo! Time flies when we're liberating animals. Oh, I just did want to remind you of last week's guest, you know, Gary Charbonneau, with that community awareness campaign about animals. Enter. Perhaps you could win $5,000. Go to the website, saveaheartbeat.com, saveaheartbeat.com. And if you do enter and have a community awareness campaign, make sure that you mention that you entered because of Bob Linden or Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Because if enough people enter as a result of hearing about it from the show, the show will get $500, which certainly helps. I want to tell you, today, I'd like you to head on over to the KPFK Program Council meeting. It's today at 3 p.m. at the Unitarian Church of Orange County. I'm running over there right now, 511 South Harbor Boulevard in Anaheim. This is your opportunity to voice your opinion that KPFK Pacifica should air animal liberation, animal rights, and pro-vegan programming, including associated health and environmental issues. Areas, in fact, we could probably put on a show that where we just read chapter by chapter from the book, Terrorists or Freedom Fighters, Reflections on the Liberation of Animals, Stephen Best, Anthony Nocella. So, so the program council meets today, and let's see. So those areas are not covered on programming right now at all on Progressive KPFK. Non-existent is the world of animal rights, animal liberation, pro-vegan. I've started a committee, apparently, at the last meeting. I've initiated a program council committee called just that, Animal Liberation, Animal Rights, and Pro-Vegan Committee. You could be on that. You can go to the KPFK IPC at yahoogroups.com. KPFK IPC, like Interim Program Council, KPFK IPC at yahoogroups.com for information there. And again, today, 3 p.m., Unitarian Church of Orange County, exit the 5 at Lincoln, and then go east to Harbor, and then south two blocks to Santa Ana Street, 511 South Harbor Boulevard. Let us lobby for animal rights programming on KPFK. Well, the cruelest show on earth, Ringling Brothers, that illegal in cities all around the U.S. and California, as I mentioned, including Huntington Beach, Pasadena, Corona, Encinitas, makes its San Diego scene of the crime opening this coming Wednesday, the Animal Torture Show at the San Diego Sports Arena. Protests are planned, so join in. Check animaladvocates.org. Also check vegsandiego.com. And please join me next Sunday for our Sunday Mass Walk to the Ticket Booth. If protesters are continuing to have their constitutional rights trampled like an elephant gone berserk, and I hope today's not going to be the day when an elephant does go berserk and trample your child at the circus, you know, when an elephant just has enough after living this unnatural life. I hope today also is the day that your child doesn't get tuberculosis from an elephant in the circus. So let's make it a Sunday Mass next Sunday in memory of Clyde, who died, the lion who died, two-year-old lion. Let's make it a final farewell. Wouldn't that be cool to the unwelcome slave trade show known as Ringling Brothers? Join me at 3 p.m. for a walk to the ticket booth next Sunday, San Diego, okay? There's a walk for farm animals on October 2nd in Venice Beach. Benefit for Farm Sanctuary, go to farmsanctuary.org. If you are involved with an animal rights organization, a vegetarian group, and you have a printing job to do, like I had to for the Venice Midsummer Dream of Peace VeggieQ, I went to Shalom Printing. You can get a discount. Go to shalomprinting at AOL.com. That's on Ventura Boulevard, just east of the 405 at Noble in Sherman Oaks. The Southern California Animal Rights Hotline, 310-572-6443. For the latest on events and demonstrations and boycotts and court support. Court support coming up soon for Julie Mescal, and her case involving the rodeo. So that comes up on Monday the 9th, Tuesday the 10th. For Julie Mescal in West Covina there. The latest breakthrough information toward the prevention and control of cancer and other diseases through nutrition, tests, and non-toxic alternative therapies will be highlighted at the 32nd Annual Cancer Convention over the Labor Day weekend. That's September 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Sheraton Universal Hotel located in Universal City, Hollywood. Sponsored by the Cancer Control Society, this public three-day event will feature over 50 speakers, 5 movies, and 80 exhibits. Some of the well-known speakers will be Earl Mindell. You've been hearing about him a lot here on the show. He's so excited about the Himalayan goji juice. We'll talk about that in a moment, too, the Himalayan goji berry juice. Go to govegan.freelife.com. For information on the Himalayan goji berry juice. Some of the well-known speakers, though, that'll be at the 32nd Annual Cancer Convention over Labor Day weekend at the Sheraton Universal. You have Earl Mindell, and you have Patrick Quillen and Ralph Moss, and you can call Cancer Control Society at 323-663-7801 for programs and doctor referrals, and many interesting subjects going on there. You'll want to be there. I mean, you have the mineral connection. You have Chinese herbs for cancer. All sorts of. Earl Mindell will talk about antioxidants against cancer, and again, Himalayan goji juice jammed with antioxidants. How about medical X-rays and nuclear radiation, the silent killers? Nutritional support during conventional cancer treatments. All of that going on. All of the these interesting subjects there. So again, that's the 32nd Annual Cancer Convention, the Sheraton Universal on Labor Day weekend. I believe it's time now for Animal News and Views, which is sponsored by In Defense of Animals, In Defense of Animals, IDA, USA. And, by the way, PETA would invite you to continue to boycott IAMS dog food, IAMS pet food, because of the animal cruelty associated with animal testing. Now, there was an article in the Washington Times, and August 4th, Washington Times, pet food giant IAMS uses a company contractor that tests animals under brutal, inhumane conditions, animal rights organization PETA charges. Quote here from PETA, a recent PETA undercover investigation revealed deplorable conditions at an IAMS contract laboratory, PETA said in a statement on Wednesday. At least 27 dogs were killed and many others died of untreated illnesses, PETA said. The investigation also found dogs and cats kept in small barren cages for 6 years, dogs with cut vocal cords, dogs with infections and injured paws trying to balance in metal slatted cages or kept on cement. PETA also uncovered conditions where a kitten was washed down a drain. Just a mess. So the boycott continues with IAMS. Ooh, did I have to get another break in here? I guess I do. And then we'll continue with more animal news and views. So this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I thank you for joining us today. And you can make a tax-deductible donation to help us pay for the airtime so that animals can have a voice in the media. Make your check payable to Go Vegan. Mail it to P.O. Box 220025, Newhall, California, 91322. Need to reach me by phone, 818-623-6477. I'm always talking about how delicious Veggianaise is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Veggianaise. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Veggianaise? Or a tofu burger with Veggianaise? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Veggianaise in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Veggianaise in a book about stroke prevention. Yet there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Webers, MD, Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Veggianaise, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere. Did you see all those snazzy styles of Earth Vegan footwear at our Venice Midsummer Dream of Peace Veggie Q? Wow, those shoes were looking great, and people wearing them are feeling great. Only Earth footwear, Earth Vegan, delivers the famous Calso negative heel technology designed by Danish yoga master Anne Calso. Earth Vegan promotes a natural way of walking, so natural that you'll feel like you're walking barefoot in the sand. Your head is straight, your shoulders roll back, your spine and pelvis align, breathing and balance improve, toes spread out and relax, and your back pain disappears because of the comfort involved with Earth Vegan shoes. And anybody, if you saw them there, they're really stylish. Vegan casuals for men and women. Earth Vegan footwear, UK Vegan Society certified. And you can go to earthvegan.us, earthvegan.us, or call 877-746-3364. 877-746-3364.
Mad cow, bird flu. Which one is killing you?
And I also wanted to thank Arrowhead Water, didn't I? Yeah, but I can't find... okay. Here we go. Okay. Thanks to Arrowhead Mountain Spring Water for its generous water donation. For information on how you can get Arrowhead Mountain Spring Water delivered to your home, log on to arrowheadwater.com or call 1-800-ARROWHEAD. Does the hour fly by or what? Animal News and Views, sponsored by Team IDA, which enlisted Eric Haar, world-class athlete, promoting the image of strength and leadership in animal advocacy by walking, swimming, running. If you're involved with activities, you can be a member of Team IDA, just like Eric. So check it out. Go to the website, idausa.org, idausa.org. A lot of people were interested in the Himalayan goji juice. Had a lot of information at the Venice Midsummer Dream of Peace Veggie Q. And gosh, the people in Asia have been relying upon goji berries for longevity, and it's very common for people there to be living to 120, those who enjoy the goji berry. And talk of someone who actually lived to over 250. This is the most nutritionally dense food in the world. It grows closest to the sun. It drinks the waters high in the Himalayas. So it's, I think it's something you're going to want to drink. I'm understanding, I have to talk a little bit more about what I'm hearing, but I understand that animals benefit from Himalayan goji juice also. You got to check it out. Go to the website. The website is www.govegan.freelife.com. So that's www.govegan.freelife.com. goji.com. So you'll find it amazing. Goji means happy. It fights depression. It fights cancer. It's something, well, try it for 3 months. You have a money-back guarantee. I think you'll be happy with it. The testimonials are pouring in on what it's doing for people now that it's made its way here to North America. So check it out. GoVegan.freelife.com. Okay, I want to thank you for joining me today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And we will meet again next week. Next week at the circus, okay? Today at the KPFK Program Council meeting. Thanks for listening. Go vegan. Stop eating animals.